On April 30th, 1976, Russ and I left for a Michigan Audubon field trip to northern Michigan. He and I camped in a state forest. We got little sleep because the spring peepers were calling up a storm that whole night, and then we headed on to Whitefish Point. By the time we arrived, after what had already been a full day, everyone was more than ready for lunch. I'd already added 8 lifers that morning and was very hungry myself, so you'd think I'd be happy to sit down with our group for at least a bit of a lunch break, but I'd never before been to Whitefish Point, so I grabbed my bag lunch and headed back outside for some more birding. And right in the gravel and grass parking area, I came upon another new bird, a tiny, gorgeous sparrow. I rifled through the pages of my field guide as the bird obligingly stayed nearby, sometimes on the ground, sometimes in one or another small shrub. After looking through every sparrow in the book, I settled on LeConte sparrow. After I felt satisfied with my identification and had drunk in its lovely features, I ran inside to tell everyone. And instantly, the on-site bird bander told me that was impossible. He'd never seen or heard of a LeConte sparrow on Whitefish Point before. I was still very much a beginner and didn't have the cockiness or confidence to argue the point, but I said the bird was probably still there and I could show it to him. He skeptically followed me to the parking lot, most of the field trip participants in tow, and sure enough, there was the bird. And sure enough, it was a LeConte sparrow. He let out a triumphant whoop as if he'd found it himself and ran to his truck to get a mist net. I'd never before seen one of those. It looked like an extremely fragile volleyball net. He set it up at the edge of the parking lot, maybe 30 feet from the bird. Then he had us all line up on the other side of the bird and slowly walk forward, driving the bird toward the net. When the tiny thing was snagged, he quickly extricated it, transforming a bird in the bush into one in the hand. The bander was a big guy with huge hands. The size difference between him and the tiny bird was impressive enough, but what triggered my imagination was how the bird did not meekly submit to being manhandled. He threw his head back and opened his mouth, glaring at the enormous man with fury and defiance, reminding me of Ahab confronting the great white whale. Unlike Melville's Ahab, this little LeConte sparrow survived his first battle with his nemesis without getting his leg bitten off. Rather than a wooden leg, my Ahab would forever carry a tiny aluminum band around his leg as a remembrance. And unlike Moby Dick, the bander didn't get any deep wounds from harpoons and knives, though the little bird did bite his hand hard enough to draw a bit of blood. I, the Ishmael in this scenario, alone am escaped to tell thee. When I got home, I headed to the university library to look up some numbers. The average LeConte sparrow weighs about 14 grams. That's half an ounce. I don't think Melville reported Ahab's weight, but I found an old movie magazine on microfiche that had the next best thing, Gregory Peck's weight, which was about 174 pounds. And I found in a book or encyclopedia article the maximum weight of a sperm whale, about 63 tons. I worked out the ratios to discover that the LeConte sparrow was tinier relative to Ahab than Ahab was to the great white whale, and not just by a little. The biggest sperm whales weighed 721 times as much as Gregory Peck did, while he weighed 5,643 times what a LeConte sparrow weighs. That's an order of magnitude difference. To this very day, whenever I have to stand up to something fearful, I see that LeConte sparrow in my mind's eye, standing firm in resistance as long as the danger remained. That tiny little Ahab was my best bird ever. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.